Where did we stop?
Up to 60.
We did?
Yeah.
That means we finished it. We finished the file. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
There were the two previous of the nine reasons for understanding that Vaikuntha is transcendental were that Vaikuntha is beyond all the material creation, and also that there's no falling or slipping from there. Prapancha titatvam tatoskalanam cha yugapadaha. That it is beyond the material creation, and that there is no falling down from there, are stated at the same time. So here's one verse that gives both of these reasons that were already discussed.
Atapatram tu vaikuntam dvijadama kutobayam.
That's from the 12th canto, 11th chapter. O Brahmanas, the Lord's umbrella is his spiritual abode, Vaikuntha, where there is no fear. Okay, there's no fear there. In particular, no fear of falling down. Prapancha rupasyaiveti prakaranat. After all, this statement is made within the discussion of the form of the Lord as the material creation. This was a brief description of the universal form in the 11th chapter of the 12th canto. Vaikuntha, however, is akutobaya. It's a transcendental realm where there's no fear. Dvija iti sambodhanam. The plural word dvija is a vocative address spoken to the sages. Shri Sutaha. This verse was spoken by Shri Suta. That's the end of the Anuchet. Short one. Let's see if there's any commentary. In chapter 11 of the Bhagavatam's 12th canto, Suta Goswami describes the opulences of the personality of Godhead represented by various limbs of his material form as the total universe. As the word atapatra indicates, an umbrella protects its carrier from sunlight, atapa. Atapatra, protecting from atapa. The royal umbrella carried by the virat form of the Supreme Lord serves its own purpose in its lila. We usually think of Vamanadeva carrying an umbrella. This is the virat rupa, he has his umbrella. And it serves its own purpose in its lila, and it also represents the Lord's abode, which shelters his dear devotees from all unfavorable influences. No fear ever torments those devotees, including fear of losing their place in Vaikuntha. The nam form dvijaha is ambiguous understandable as either the subject of the sentence, who does the actions, or as an address to the person who is being spoken to. In this sentence, it makes no sense to take it as the subject. So it's vocative. Okay, any questions? Yes? Sorry, good one. No accidental fall down. Well, generally, no fear. That means generally no fear of fall down. Yes?
Same time, when I want, you speak about the room atmosphere, about spiritual atmosphere, when you want most Krishna, you want most to serve Krishna.
Yes.
At the same time, when somebody has a material desire, you just open it to this atmosphere. And I heard about that the very atmosphere, which is convenient for the words, where it keeps you out of this place because you like foreigner.
Yes.
So, does it mean that for the world of Krishna protects Krishna from this?
But it's also protecting, it's protecting Krishna from anything undesirable.
Krishna.
Right, but it protects the devotees generally from anything undesirable too. The consciousness of the devotees is generally under the protection of the spiritual potency. Unless a devotee, a living entity becomes, Vaikuntha becomes inimical or rebellious. Yes, I don't know the exact process, but it happens. Now, of course, there's the other side that says nobody was in Vaikuntha in the first place. We weren't in Vaikuntha, we were somewhere else in limbo. Because nobody ever falls down from Vaikuntha. We fell down from somewhere else, is the argument given. Now, is there anything in these, especially in Anucheta 62, that directly supported that viewpoint? No, there was nothing really took a side on it. Okay. Right, anything else? Okay, we have another short Anucheta coming up. Nirgunya Prapyatvam, next reason why Vaikuntha is to be considered transcendental. That it, Vaikuntha, is achieved by becoming free from the material modes. One thing to say that there is no material modes there. Another thing to say that someone can go there if he gets free from the material modes. And that is the statement from the 11th canto, 25th chapter. Satve pralina swaryanti naralokam rajolaya tamolayas tunirayam yanti mamivo nirguna. Those who leave this world in the mode of goodness go to the heavenly planets. Those who pass away in the mode of passion remain in the world of human beings. And those who dying in the mode of ignorance must go to hell. But those who are free from the influence of all modes of nature come to me. Now, this is the 25th chapter of the Gita, Krishna describing the effects of the three modes, very similarly to as he does in the 14th chapter of the Gita. The only big difference is that he makes four stipulations, the effect of each of the three modes, and then the transcendental mode of devotional service, what effect that gives. That Krishna doesn't talk about in the Gita, the 14th chapter. But in this description of the modes, and then compare it on the fourth level to the transcendental mode, is how Krishna is describing in the 25th chapter of the 11th canto. Those who are free from the influence of all modes of nature come to me, which is the point that we want to make in this anuccheda, that is achieved by Nair Gunya. Now, Jiva Goswami explains a little bit here. Loka prasaptair mat lokam iti vaktavye tat praptir nama mat praptir evaiti swabedam abhipretyaha mam evaiti. Since this context is a discussion of various worlds, right? Well, this verse is talking about the worlds that different people go to. It's about worlds. It is expected that the Lord would say, those who are transcendental, go to my world. It's expected that it would be said, my world. But he says, me, mom, they go to me. But that's with the idea that the world is not different from him. Vaikuntha is not any different from him. So he can just say it, they go to me. That means they go to Vaikuntha. Okay. Attaining it is the same as attaining me, is what Krishna has in mind when he says that. This verse, Sri Bhagavan, this verse was spoken by the personality of Godhead to Uddhava. Commentary. Having given up all connection with the material modes of ignorance, passion, and goodness is sufficient qualification for elevation to Vaikuntha, but it is also a necessary condition. Okay, you know the difference between a sufficient condition and a necessary condition? That means to get some result, you have to fulfill all the necessary conditions. But there may be some more conditions also. When you have enough conditions that allow the result to happen, that's sufficient conditions. So, and sometimes there are extra conditions. If you're free from, if you have $1 million, you can buy a train ticket to Delhi. But that's a sufficient condition, but it's not a necessary condition. You can buy cheaper tickets than that. You don't have to spend $1 million to go to Delhi. So there you have sufficient condition that's not a necessary condition. But to be free from these three modes of nature is a sufficient condition, but it's also necessary. You have to have at least that, freedom from all three modes of nature, to get entrance to Vaikuntha. Continuing, no one can enter Vaikuntha with any remnant of material attachment. Although higher and higher destinations can be reached by progressive detachment from materialism, the eternal abode is approachable only by complete surrender to the Supreme Lord's mercy. That's what the verse was describing. Well, in reverse order, that the mode of goodness, you can go to heaven. Mode of passion, you can stay in the world of humans. And you'll have to go to hell if you're in the mode of ignorance. Okay. Any questions? Yes? Sorry.
What about in yesterday's? They might take this state of the Gunya, but it's not enough for them to go to the spiritual world.
Yes. It's not real. Vishuddha Maninas, they think themselves pure. Because there's envy in their heart, envy of Krishna. Otherwise they'd surrender him, they'd stop being materialists, impersonalists. Because to be an impersonalist means to be an impersonalist even after you achieve knowledge. A naive impersonalist is one thing. But if you know better, if you've heard the authorized description of who Krishna really is, and you don't become attracted to him, that's envious. And that envy is a contamination. It's an effect on the false ego and the intelligence of the mode of ignorance. Subtle, and you think that you're free from the material modes, and you let everybody call you Narayan, but actually you're not free from the modes, not completely. So I think that's consistent.
So this means that the Rupi Krishna Paramahansa potential they might even achieve sometimes the state of their being, but because they are dependent that they are in this position for
the. Yeah. You can go to the spiritual sky, not actually enter the Vaikuntha planet, but be in the Brahma Jyoti and still fall down.
This attaining me is equivalent to attaining Lord Sambhu.
That's the point that Jiva Goswami is explaining, yes.
So is there some time gap also attaining Krishna and attaining his abode? Because we see, like Dhruva Maharaj, he attained Krishna, but it took some time to attain his abode. He was still in the material world for a long time.
Right, yeah.
So it's like consciousness-wise, this place becomes the spiritual abode.
Well, someone who attains Krishna has the right to go to Vaikuntha, but Krishna may have a specific purpose for him. Mm-hmm. It's one thing, an imperfect devotee who hasn't purified himself completely, he'll have to stay in this world. But one who's completely purified, he should be allowed to go to Vaikuntha. But Krishna may have a reason for him to stay here for some service. Dhruva Maharaj was liberated. Actually, Dhruva Loka is a Vaikuntha planet. It's a special Vaikuntha planet inside the material world. So that's different. He actually did enter Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha came to him inside the universe. Other devotees might stay to preach or to do some other service. Or they might not be completely pure yet. But even the ones who are completely pure sometimes are sent back or are kept here for some special service. Or Krishna wants, they're perfect, but Krishna wants them to become more perfect, more intense in their eagerness. And he may not let them get out until they even increase their devotion to a higher pitch.
Or is that because consciousness-wise, the material world becomes, for that personality, a spiritual world? He sees everything.
Yes, yes. Vishram Purna Sukhayate, for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, the material world is full of happiness. It becomes, what is it? Not only that, but I'm thinking of another statement by Parvati about Chitraketu, or Lord Shiva's tells her. Tvagar Pavarka Narakesh Apitulya Dadarsh. The pure devotees in Narayan, they don't see any difference between heaven, hell, and or liberation. Because their consciousness isn't Vaikuntha consciousness, it doesn't matter where they are physically. But they have a right to go to Vaikuntha, and eventually they will. They don't have to because they experience Vaikuntha no matter where they are.
Well, yes,
They can be used, but that will be in the material world.
Impossible with that, we can't stay in means it's not in Vaikuntha.
Well, you're using the same thing that's the cause of your bondage, you're using it to become liberated. But you're not liberated yet. It helps you progress toward liberation to dovetail your material propensities. But to get out of this world, you're going to have no more material propensities. In the beginning of devotional service, a conditioned soul can begin serving Krishna by dovetailing, by using material things, and material things in his own heart. But to get free from birth and death, he's going to go back to Krishna in his spiritual abode. He'll have to give up all those material ideas and desires.
My question was that if someone is already liberated, is staying in Vaikuntha, is possible he becomes angry or?
No, there's a difference between the spiritual emotions and the material. There may be what looks like anger, but it's not the same thing. Spiritual anger, all the spiritual emotions are completely different than the material ones, even if they have the same names and they look the same. So the kind of anger that somebody might experience in Vaikuntha is not at all material. It's not the same as the anger we experience here. Nobody gets hurt in Vaikuntha. In this world, when people get angry, someone gets hurt. In the material world, in the spiritual world, nobody gets hurt. Not even psychologically. Even when there's spiritual anger. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Another short one. 65. The next reason. Sutaram Nayagun Ashrayatvam. That Vaikuntha is especially the resort of freedom from the material modes. Is that a separate reason? Can we go back to the 62.1 in file 18? Could you open it? At the top there, we had a list of the 9 reasons why Vaikuntha is transcendental. Do you see that in the commentary? Commentary to 62.1? Is that there? Let me see. Oh, wait. No, that's upside. Let me find 61. Hare Krishna. No. Maybe 60. Here, it's in 60. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so in verse 6, that Vaikuntha lies beyond material realm is discussed in 61. That those who attain it do not fall down is described in 62. That it's achieved only by those who come to the stage of freedom from the influence of the modes is 64. Now we're on 65. That even its replica in the material world also transcends the material modes. And that the Vedas directly say that it is beyond matter. That's what 65 is about. Really? Let's see if that's true. That even the version of Vaikuntha that's in the material world is beyond the modes. And that the Vedas tell us directly that it's beyond the modes. Let's see if that shows up in 65. Here's 65 again. Do we read it yet? Oh, no, we haven't read it yet. Okay. Sutaram Nayagunasyashrayatvam. That Vaikuntha is especially the resort of freedom from the material modes, is said. Where? in the Bhagavatam, same chapter about the modes, 11 to 25.
Vanam tu sattviko vaso gramo rajasa uchyate tamasam dyuta samanam sadanam maniketam tu nirgunam.
Residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in a town is in the mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the mode quality of ignorance. And residence in a place where I reside is transcendental. That could mean a temple of the Lord in the material world.
Tad aveshe naivasyapi nirgunatva vyapadesha iti bhava.
Implied here is the idea that because it is a replica of that original abode, Mandiketam, Krishna's house in the material world, is a replica of his abode in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it's also termed, his house here in the material world is also termed free from the modes. Okay, free from the modes means sa'eva prakritik paratva. This is the same as the fact of its being transcendental to material nature. To say something is free from the modes means that it's transcendental to prakriti.
Tato Vaikuntha.
Oh, this is stated in chapter 88 of the 10th canto, where Krishna and Balaram go visit Lord Mahavishnu.
Tato Vaikuntha Magamat Basvaram Tamasak Param Yatra Narayanat Sakshat Nyasinam Paramagatihi Shantanam Yastadandanam Yatonavartate Gataha.
Okay, subscribe that. Then he, Arjuna, driving the horses, reached the luminous realm of Vaikuntha, beyond all darkness, where the Supreme Lord Narayan is manifest. That realm is the destination of renunciants who have attained peace and given up all violence against other creatures. Going there, one never returns. That's actually Mahakalapur that went to, which is one of the coverings in the material universe, still in the material realm. Lord Mahakala is expansion of Mahavishnu, and he has a special planet in the covering of Prakriti, I think. One of the seven coverings of the universe.
This is not described. This is Lord, describing Lord Shiva going there? Agamat, Jagama, Shiva, iti sheshaha.
Agamat, the verb means he went. And the implied subject of the sentence is not Arjuna, but Shiva, Lord Shiva. Is that what's described there in 1088? Anyway, Sri Shukaha. This verse was spoken by Sri Shuka. And that's the end of the Anuchet. Let's see, the story might be described here in the commentary. Why don't we, hold on. Commentary. Mortal beings who live on the earth are limited in their scope of travel during this lifetime. Okay? Very few mortals can leave the planet. And others are restricted because they don't have a passport or a visa or enough money to get a ticket. We're limited in where we can travel. The mortal beings on earth, may aspire for heaven or eternity in their next life, but for now their feet are bound to the earth. Okay, so within that context, Lord Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the alternatives for those who are on the earth. They can choose to live in a city or in the country. Or, and if particularly degraded, they may live in a place of sinful activities. And they also have a transcendental alternative, to live in or visit a spiritual ashram presided by the Supreme Lord in his deity form. Although the deity appears to be made of stone or metal, it is non-different from the personality of Godhead in his eternal form. The place where the deity is present, moreover, is a non-different extension of the Lord's abode, an embassy of Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva dwells in his own domain within the universe as long as the universe exists. But once Lord Shiva had to flee for protection to Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, when a so-called devotee of his begged for the benediction that anyone's head whom the devotee touched would die at once. Wait a minute, the head doesn't die. Would be split to pieces. Yeah, the head breaks. Okay. Anyone's head whom the devotee touched would be split to pieces at once. The demon tried to test the boon on his benefactor's head, and Lord Shiva had to run for his life. So that's the story in 1088. 1089 is where we read about going to Mahakalapur, I think. Okay. Any questions?
Yes. Lord Mahakala is Lord Shiva.
Is it who?
Lord Shiva.
No.
They have a Mujemna, Mahakaleshwara.
Oh, that's... Okay, but that's different. Yeah, he also has that name, but it's different. Okay. Yes? Well, what's different about the Lord's abode on the earth? Like even Vrajadam, is that the entrance requirement is a little, more people are allowed in. Demons and materialists are allowed to physically enter the dham. But actually there's Yoga Maya covering it, so they don't really, they're not really in the dham, they're just on the surface. But unqualified people are allowed to at least, you know, be on top of it, to be in the same place. Same thing with the temple. You know, you may not be in Vaikuntha consciousness, but you're allowed to live there. Up to a point. If you maintain a hellish mentality, eventually you won't be able to stay in the temple even. There's one thing that Vrindavan is open ground, everybody can go there. You know, special about Vrindavan. Govardhan is much more strict, who can stay and how long. But Vrindavan, materialists can come and build their houses and do whatever they want. And it's the dham is tolerant. But in Krishna's temple, there has to be a little more strictness. Temple can't turn into an ordinary marketplace. Okay, anything else?
Yes. Like in the Brahma Sahita, that shloka is there. Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, and Vaikuntha Dham.
Yes.
So here, Lord Shiva dwells in his own abode within the universe, as long as the universe exists. But Lord Shiva's Dham is beyond Viraja River.
He has more than one place. He has his branch office also. Mm-hmm. The original Kailasha is there. Well, you're talking about the original from whom Lord Shiva expands, the original in Vaikuntha. But that's not really Lord Shiva. That's Vishnu who expands into Shiva. Lord Shiva, as Shiva, is existing always in the material world. But his first abode, his original abode, is on the outskirts. It's in the covering of false ego, Hankar, the last covering of the universe, is where Lord Shiva has the original Kailas. And his Kailasa on the earth is an expansion of it, and it's a limited expansion. It doesn't display all the opulences. So Lord Shiva has more than one place, but his original place is on the very edge of the universe.
What is the name of the expansion?
Sadashiva? Sadashiva is using the name. But I would, maybe I'm not right, but I presume that that's actually Vishnu form. So the original Sadashiva is actually Vishnu. Just like the original, that Lord Brahma expands from Pradyumna, one of the Narayan forms. So Lord Shiva also expands from one of the Vishnu forms, and that's Sadashiva. And Lord Shiva, as Lord Shiva, making contact with the material world, material nature, that can only happen inside the material world.
So, Chandraketu Maharaj met Lord Shiva in which place?
He was, I think, the Kailas that's, I think, on the earth. Well, Lord Shiva was, Chandraketu was a Gandharva. He was traveling around the universe. It's a description of where he was, Trikuta Mountain or somewhere. I don't remember. It's there in the sixth canto, 6.4. No, it was inside the universe. But whether it's on the earth or somewhere in the heavenly planets, I'm not sure. It was definitely inside the universe, because Chandraketu was only a Gandharva. He wasn't qualified to leave the universe. Well, he expands himself into each universe. You know, he has as many expansions of himself as there are universes. Where? Well, that is the original Kailash, in the covering of false ego.
He's asking the three levels of Sadashiva.
Yeah, but the first one, I'm not so sure that that's Shiva Tattva and not Vishnu. Okay? The one in Vaikuntha, yeah. Hare Krishna. I'm not that, I can't promise you, but I think that Sadashivta in Vaikuntha is Vishnu. Yes?
I think Shiva Tattva is one of the Achintya categories, so don't.
Yes, but I don't know if he's present in Vaikuntha as Shiva Tattva. I don't know. There's no Jada Tattva, no material energy in the spiritual world. And Shiva Tattva, I don't know. I think he's only manifest in the material world. He's a shadow. There's no shadows. There's no darkness in Vaikuntha. Yes, Uddhava?
Can you explain what is the beauty of Mahakala?
Who?
Mahakala.
What does it do? Well, he's... As Mahavishnu, he's a form of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu's job is to create the universe. It's not his job, his pastime, his pleasure. What he does in this world is create the universe. But after that, what does he do? So there is some description in Lord Brahma's got Mahavishnu on his planet, and he worships Mahavishnu. And it's said there that the two favorite pastimes of Mahavishnu are eating and sleeping. You know, once he creates the universe, all he does is eat and sleep. And accept sacrifice. He eats the sacrifice and goes to sleep. Okay. We'll go on to 66. Also a short one. Nityatvam. That it, Vaikuntha, is eternal. Grivayam janalokosya tapalokasnanadvayat. Murdapik satya lokas tu brahma lokat sanatanaha. That's also, that's from the second canto, fifth chapter, another description of the universal form. Janaloka is situated on his neck. the neck of the universal form. And Tapo Loka extends up to there from his nipples. Satya Loka is located on his heads. The spiritual world, however, is ever existing. So it doesn't say the spiritual world is a certain part of the universal form's body. It just says, no, spiritual world is ever existing. Sanatana. Eternal. No, but here's Sridhar Swami's explanation. Tikacha. This is the commentary by Sridhar Swami on the verse. Brahmaloko Vaikuntakyak. Satu Sanatana Nitya. Natu Sridya Prapanch Antar Varti Ityartaha Ityesha. Sridhar Swami says about this verse. Brahmaloka Sanatana, the verse says. Sridhar Swami says, Brahmaloka is the world called Vaikuntha. And it, on the contrary, is ever existing. That means nitya, eternal. And that means, in other words, it is not located within the created cosmos. Brahmabhuto Loka, Brahmaloka. The name Brahmaloka, that is the world which is composed of Brahma, pure spirit. That's called Brahmaloka. Sometimes Brahmaloka means Satyaloka, or the planet where Lord Brahma lives. But that's from the word Brahma, masculine loka. But Brahman loka, the world where there is Brahman, that's Vaikuntha. Where there's pure spirit, that's Vaikuntha. Sri Brahma, Sri Narada. This verse was spoken by Sri Brahma to Sri Narada. The verse in the fifth chapter of the second canto. Commentary. This verse is from another description of the universal form of the Supreme Lord in the second canto of the Bhagavatam. It contrasts the material planets occupied by spiritual advanced celibates with the Brahmaloka, which only pure devotees may enter. Your Satyaloka of Brahma, four-headed Brahma, tapasvis can go there, but only pure bhaktas can go to the real Brahmaloka. Satyaloka is also sometimes called Brahmaloka, but that is the most subtle but still material abode of Lord Brahma. Srila Sridhar Swami, in his commentary, explicitly identifies the Brahmaloka of this verse with Vaikuntha and equates the planet's quality, Sanatana, eternal, with its being located outside the material universe. Sridhar Swami is drawing the logic that it's eternal, as the verse says, and therefore we can conclude that it's somewhere outside the material universe. Abramabhulaloka punar arvarti narjuna. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, O Arjuna, all planets up to Brahmas are places from which one must return to take birth again. Only in the Vaikuntha realm, beyond Satyaloka and the outer coverings of the universe, is life eternal. Life is eternal. Let me just make it life is eternal, that is life eternal. Are there any questions on that? Okay, it's simple enough. Now we go into 67, which has two paragraphs. Moksha sukatiraskari bhaktyeka labhyatvam. That it, Vaikuntha, is obtainable only by devotional service, which eclipses the happiness of liberation. We said that only those who are free from the modes can go there. But actually, there's another condition that's sufficient, but that's not exactly sufficient, because you also have to have pure devotion to go there. You can be free from the modes and not be free from devotion. But actually, as we were discussing before, you're not really free from the modes if you don't have devotion. Okay, anyway, devotional service eclipses the happiness of liberation, and Vaikuntha can only be obtained by such devotional service. Now, this is discussed by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Sarvita Sindhu, six characteristics of devotional service in general.
But he's actually showing two characteristics for each of the stages of devotional service. Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. And the six are, if I can remember, Kleshagna Shubhada, Moksha Laguta Krit Sudurlaba, Sandrananda Visheshatma, Shri Krishna Karsha Nichasa. So the first two qualities of pure devotional service is that it removes distress and gives happiness. That's for Vaidhi Bhakti. Those are the effects of Vaidhi Bhakti. And then it eclipses the happiness of liberation. And it's hard to achieve, rarely achieved. Those are the two qualities of Bhava Bhakti, effects of Bhava Bhakti. And that it's full of incredible ecstasy, and it even attracts Krishna. Those are the qualities of Prema Bhakti. So it's Bhava Bhakti that's described as eclipsing the happiness of liberation. That kind of Bhava Bhakti can get you to Vaikuntha. When you achieve Bhava, then you're eligible to enter Vaikuntha, not before that. Now, there's two verses quoted from the 15th chapter of the third canto, how the four Kumaras, what they saw when they came to Vaikuntha.
Yanna vrajantya gabido vachana nuvadat trinvantiyenya vishaya kukutama tagni yas tu shuta hata bagayar vipir atasaras tams tan shipantya sharine shuta maksuhanta yacha vrajantya nimisha vishabanu vritya Dure yamayupari naks bihoni ashila partur mitatshu yashashat katana nuraga vaiklavya bashpa kalaya pulati kritanga.
To that place do not go. Those who listen to other topics than narrations of the deeds of the killer of Agha. Worthless discussions that simply spoil their intelligence. It is very much regrettable that unfortunate persons hear such topics, which are devoid of substance, and cast them down into regions of darkness where there is no shelter. To that place go those. That's Vaikuntha. To that place Vaikuntha go those who, leaving aside the regulations of yoga, practice serving the best of the ever-vigilant lords of the universe. These devotees, whose character is admired by persons like us, are so eager to discuss with another the amazing glories of their master that they shed tears of excitement and the hair on their limbs stands on end. Describes practicing devotional service. Anyway, that's the Prabhupada's translation. Yes, Bhava Bhakti is still practice of devotional service. But it's practice in which one's achieving the perfection. It's on the edge of perfection. Now, commentary. The section of the third canto, which includes these two verses, narrates the visit of the four Kumara brothers to Vaikuntha. Ta'e kada bhagavato vaikuntasyamalatmanaha yayur vaikuntha nilayam sarvaloka namaskritam. They on one occasion entered into the spiritual sky, the four Kumaras, for they were freed from all material contamination. In the spiritual sky. So they visited Vaikuntha for a short time. They had their duty. They were liberated, but they had their duty in the material world. So they were just taking a short trip, preview of Vaikuntha. But also they may have had some subtle material attachment to their sadhana, to their tapas. And they were somewhat impersonal before this visit. So they weren't really ready to enter Vaikuntha for good, but they were making a visit. In the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets known as Vaikunthas, which are the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees, and are worshipped by all the residents of the material planets. Okay, so that's the context in which four Kumaras come to Vaikuntha, and this is what that Vaikuntha was like, in the words of Shukadeva Goswami. No, well, actually, Maitreya talking to Vidura. Okay, any questions about that? Okay, yeah, please.
It looks like this verse explains why the Bhakti, because we have these two items, we have to know which is the same, which is a third of the devotional service, means when they go to when they talk, we have to accept the three devotional service. So it must be, because we never have power Bhakti,
okay, I drew that connection. It's not said here, but Jiva Goswami. Just I saw Moksha Sukha, Moksha Sukha Tiraskari, and that's what Rupa Goswami says as the effect of Bhava Bhakti. Anyway, there's an overlapping. One continues to perform, you know, the rules and regulations, even when one is developing ecstasy. And one may begin to develop a little bit of the ecstasy while one's still becoming purified. You know, there is overlapping between the two phases, between Vaini Bhakti and Bhava Bhakti. You could start your Bhava Bhakti even before you're completely finished with the Vaini Bhakti. Yes. Yes, but unless you're experiencing actual affection, love for Krishna, maybe not completely developed prema, but unless you're feeling something in your heart, something real, spiritual, you wouldn't have that exclusive. It's a sign of sharanagati, of actual surrender, that you have no other, you're not interested in anything but Krishna. That means you're actually attracted to Him. And that, therefore, it's a ticket into Vaikuntha. Okay, so, well, okay, one more question. Well, if I got it right, Vaidhi Bhakti is the first of the three phases, and Vaidhi Bhakti is Sadhana Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti, two parts. This is all described in Nectar Devotion. But Vaidhi Bhakti divides into Sadhana Bhakti, just following the rules, you know, you're motivated by the scripture and by your guru. Raghunuga Bhakti, you still practice you're still practicing, but you're motivated by intense desire. Your own heart is ruling in Raghunuga Bhakti. But it's still Vaidhi Bhakti. Sadhana Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Vaidhi Bhakti. That's the first phase of bhakti. When love starts to awaken, that's Bhava Bhakti. Second phase, and when it's perfect, then it's prema bhakti. Those are identified as effects of bhava bhakti, yes. Ramana bhakti is just the second half of Vaidhi bhakti. Yes, some never practice Raghunuga Bhakti, but then they go to Vaikuntha. They don't go to Goloka. If you practice Vaidhi Bhakti and never practice Raghunuga Bhakti, or are interested, then you can go to Vaikuntha. You can get prema, but it's prema on a lower level. Yeah, bhava is achieved, you know, Narayan bhava and Narayan prema. If you're introduced to Raghunuga Bhakti, then you can go to Goloka. Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.